rickshaws everywhere, just noise upon noise and chaos. And it's a city that never sleeps. It's like New York on crack.
All right. Pay attention.
We're going to teach you something real special.
Real special today.
This is Two Coins.
Two Coins.
My boy Wally.
Then Ronnie. Wherever you're at, we're at.
Showing two sides of the same coin. Let me know what y'all think.
Two Coins. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter today.
Right, welcome back to the Two Coin Podcast. It's your boy Ronnie.
And I'm your brother Wally, the other side of the coin. And today's episode is brought to you by the beautiful people of Cairo, Egypt. As you know, Ronnie, I had a little week there visiting family, and it was a great experience, man. My first time over there, and I'd like to say I want to go back, man. It was a very good time.
Damn, that's what's up. Hell yeah! You said you was there for a week.
I was there for a week, so I was 2 weeks out the country. So for 1 week, I was in Saudi Arabia. Well, by now most people know that there's a war going on in Sudan, a civil war. So a lot of the people that live there, including some of my family members, are kind of displaced. I mean, before the war already started, I had family living, you know, abroad, you know, finding work over in Saudi Arabia and in Egypt. But after the war, it's like a lot more people started joining them outside of the country. So I took it as an opportunity to visit those countries in a time where I normally would go back to Sudan. So fine. I visited some of my family members in Saudi Arabia, the south of Saudi, and then I spent the week in Cairo, Egypt. And Egypt is very lit, man. I didn't know what to expect when I went over there, but there's a lot to do over there. I was expecting, you know, more of a similar type of vibe to Sudan, you know, poverty, third world country. And while there are like some pockets of the city and of the country at large that are kind of like that, it was kind of a weird mix between rich and poor, you know, east and west, old school and new school. You know, the infrastructure is there. They have like a metro system that's similar to the New York subway system. But, you know, like I said, there's pockets of poverty here and there. There's people struggling to make ends meet. But there's also like a lot to see. I saw like a lot of white people there, bro. a lot of tourists. So their economy is thriving off of tourism. One thing I would say, though, that's probably a little bit of a downside, you know, mentioning, you know, tourists and people coming from abroad, is I feel like Egyptians are very, very good at spotting people that are coming from America and Egypt. I don't know if it's because of the way we dress, the way we walk, or the way we just kind of are more, you know, akin to being polite, but they're very easy to, I mean, it's easy for them to spot, you know, Americans, right?
And hey bro, I feel like that's with any foreign country. You know what I mean? You go anywhere, like Americans stick out like a sore thumb.
They really do. They really, because they're walking around like all like, I don't know, like, la, 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 la.
Ooh, look at this. Like, you know what I mean? Bro, that's like somebody coming to SJ, walk around like, oh my God, look, it's the San Jose Improv. Let's take a picture. It's like, oh, you're not from here. Like,
exactly. You know what I mean? You're definitely an out of towner. It's easy to spot an out of towner. And for me, like, I thought going there, it would be easy for me to blend in. Because, you know, a lot of Egyptians kind of look like me. You know, they're like tan colored. You know what I mean? Like, they're African, North African. And, you know, some pockets I did kind of blend in. But, for example, like when I went to the Pyramids of Giza. So, for anybody that wants to, like, travel and, like, go and knock that off their bucket list, go to the Pyramids. One thing that I will say is watch out for, like, the scammers. People on YouTube and online, they call them scammers. But the way I saw it was just people that are there posing as like tour guides. They're living in poverty. They're trying to make ends meet and they're looking for a quick buck, honestly. And Americans are very easy to get a quick buck out of. So as soon as they see you and they notice that you have an American passport, their eyes light up and they go cha-ching. Like, hey, come here, buddy. Come here. Like, we have a camel for 500 pounds. I'll put you on a horse for 600 pounds. And, you know, shit like that. So, you know, once you kind of recognize that and you appreciate the fact that, hey, man, they are just trying to make ends meet. They're trying to feed their families. You just kind of like go along with it while trying not to get, for lack of a better word, scammed. And, man, you know, I was having the same conversation once I got back, because shout out to my roommate, Ricardo. He's from Mexico and he goes back pretty often. He was saying like, yeah, in Mexico, it's kind of the same thing. Like, if it's easy to spot out like Americans and people try to get like a quick buck out of them. So I'd say just watch out for that, for people that are doing their own research and kind of want to go.
Bro, it's wild you say that, because even in
I mean, obviously, like, the touristy parts of India, but I remember I seen even when I went to, when I was out in Italy and stuff, people just pull up and, like, they'll try to sell you anything, whatever. Like, it's just a hustle at the end of the day. You can't knock it. Like, you know what I mean? You got you got.
Really- exactly. And I was thinking about it, like, if I was in their shoes, I'd be trying to do the same thing. Like, bro, that's easy money right there, bro. Because a local Egyptian is going to be like, fuck off. But an American is going to be like, oh, yeah, let me check out this camel. Let me check out this.
Hey, but you got to also think, like, a local American, like, or not a local American, what the fuck, that's a fucking contradiction. A local to an American would have just been, you know, they're going to show them a lot more than a regular tour guide would show them.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yes and no, actually, now that I think about it, you could very easily just bullshit a tour with an American and make them be like, you know what I mean? You could just make up facts about the pyramid and, you know what I mean?
100%. And just, like, personally, I did go to the pyramids. I put up a couple things on, like, my IG story, and it was very, like, eye-opening, very beautiful experience. But after coming back and going on, like, YouTube and looking at YouTube videos of, you know, YouTubers going over there and going to the Giza complex, I started thinking back on my experience, and I'm like, huh. I don't think I got the full experience of the pyramids. I might have gotten scammed a little bit because at the bottom of the pyramids, there's a whole, like, Giza complex where there's, like, an entry where you pay for tickets and, you know, that you pay with credit card. They check out your passport. They stamp it, and then you go through. We didn't do none of that. We got to the Giza complex, and as soon as we got out the Uber, we were just, like, hounded by a couple local Egyptians that were like, hey, so where are you from? Blah, blah, blah. And I made the mistake of saying I'm from America. Where I should have just said I'm from Sudan, and it would have registered in their heads that he's not going to be as easy to scam. So I said I was from America. They took me all the way, and the people I was with, they took us all the way off to the side, towards, like, these local cafes and local, like, setup shops, where they charged us about 2,000 Egyptian pounds. It sounds a lot, but 2,000 Egyptian pounds is really like $60. So it ended up being like $15 a head. But they gave us, like, each of the four of us an individual horse. We went horseback riding towards, like, the desert area, and we took, like, a bunch of cool photos, like, with the pyramids far away in the distance. But I wouldn't say I got, like, the full experience of the Giza complex and the Sphinx and whatnot, but still definitely a very, very dope experience, man.
Damn, that's what's up, man. Hell yeah.
You mentioned the fact that India is kind of the same thing. When in India, were you in Mumbai at all? Or, like, Delhi?
I think I've been to Delhi before. I must have been younger, bro. But, my grandparents are, you know what I mean? They stay in Mumbai. My dad's from Mumbai.
From what you remember, was it, like, super, like, crowded?
Oh, yeah, bro. That shit was mad. Like, the last time I went was, what, I was 19, 20?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just India in general, bro. That's just super packed. Just the big cities are just, especially outside of my grandparents', like, apartment. Like, it's a trip. Like, looking back, there's only, like, an hour in a 24-hour period where you hear silence out on the street. And that's from, like, 3 a.m. to 4 a.m. Like, up until, and then even during that time, it's just, like, a bunch of stray dogs and, you know what I mean? But, like, 4 a.m., you'll start hearing the bells, and slowly by, like, 5, 6, the chants and people setting up their shops by 6, 7, like, cars is already moving, you know, people going to work. Like, it's just hella shit going on. But if you just sit there, like, and view it as, like, a time lapse, it's a trip. There's really, like, a 1 hour. Because you got to think, then when the day is winding down, you got the people who started their day late that's winding down late. And then, you know, bums everywhere. But, like, just people in general, there's just a lot of people living life at different time clocks.
And that's why I asked you that. Because, honestly, like, Cairo, Egypt is very, very similar. Because I was in an Uber and I was talking to, like, one of the Uber drivers, like, obviously in Arabic, but he was telling me, like, with, you know, the influx of different refugees from Sudan and from Syria coming in, even before that point in time, Cairo in general, just with purely Egyptians, was extremely overcrowded. But now, like, that overcrowding is, like, on crack. And he told me, he compared it to, like, Mumbai and Delhi, because he told me he's been to Mumbai and Delhi. And he said, it's locally getting even worse because there's, like, a lot of people everywhere you go. And, like, the neighborhood that my uncle and my cousins were staying at, it's, like, in central Cairo. And everywhere there's, like, high-rise apartment buildings because the population is just out of control. And same thing, like you said, bro. As soon as I step foot, I take the elevator downstairs and I step foot outside of that apartment complex, you see 3 to 4 stray dogs. You see stray cats. Rickshaws everywhere. Just noise upon noise and chaos. And it's a city that never sleeps. It's like New York on crack.
Bro, you know what the crazy thing is? People don't understand the benefits of a fucking rickshaw. Like, rickshaws be so plugged conceptually. Like, when you really think about it, the fact that, okay, boom, just hop in, take me here. You know what I mean? It's like a scooter. Like, literally, it's these Lime scooters, but with a person driving.
It's the way I like to think about it, it's like a motorcycle that can carry three passengers.
Yeah, and luggage. You know what I mean? But I'm talking about just from a consumer perspective. You know what I mean?
And then you can negotiate prices, too.
Hey, well, you got to watch the other side, too, because it's like everything is cash and haggling, right? So it's like if they know that you're a, you know what I mean, foreigner, are they going to add an extra zero? They're not going to know the difference.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? But shit, bro, hella random. One of my coworkers asked me this the other day. But would you rather have unlimited life or unlimited money?
I would rather have unlimited money. And the reason why is because we kind of talked about it a few episodes ago. And I don't know what the question was or what the topic was, but it pertained to the idea of living forever and whether that's something we'd want to do. And I just flat out said, hell no. Because for me personally, you know, just being a Muslim and whatnot, the whole idea of Islam is preparing for the afterlife. And I feel like that's the whole idea of religion in general, is preparing for the hereafter and doing as many good deeds as you can on earth to, you know, get judged on your character after you die. And the way we see it is the purpose of life is to prepare for life after death and to keep death in the back of your mind at all times. For us, we call the worldly life the dunya, right? And the dunya is almost kind of like a paradox where it's like, there's a lot of, I don't want to sound, you know, like pessimistic, but there's a lot of suffering on earth, right? And even just in day-to-day life, there's a lot of minor, like low-level suffering that you have to go through every day to get to where you want to go. And for me personally, that's not something I really want to experience every day. I want some relief at the end of it, and I want to do good deeds to show my character so that that relief can come in the afterlife. That's based on my own personal religious and psychological beliefs. Whereas with unlimited money, it's the complete opposite. Money, like, is not the source of all happiness. I get it, but it's the source of probably about 75% of your happiness because it eliminates a lot of problems. It helps you help your loved ones. It can pretty much buy you anything. You know, it's a tool that you can use to aid you in your happiness. So as long as you don't get carried away and as long as you keep a good head on your shoulders, I think you can do good with a lot of riches. So I would much rather have unlimited money over unlimited life. 100%. What about you, bro?
Ditto, my guy. Nah, just give me the bread, bro. Because at the end of the day, like, it all got to come to an end at some point. Now, would I be down to live, like, 200 years old? Fuck yeah, that would be dope. Like, you know what I mean? To see two centuries. But the thought of unlimited life, like, I would, you know what I mean? Like, damn, bro, if I only lived 70 years, even if it was a fulfilling 70, like, it would be dope to be like, damn, bro, I'm, like, 150, 160. But unlimited means, like, damn, bro, I remember 7,000 years ago. Like, that's crazy. Like, at a certain point, you become disconnected with the rest of the world. Especially if you're the... But now, think about this. Here's a wild little concept. I mean, it's also, in essence, what they did in the TV show Lucifer. Like, you live forever, but everybody else, you know what I mean? They're going through their life. You could literally just have different lives throughout the world for centuries on end. But at some point, you're about to get disconnected from everything to the point where it's like nothing even matters. Like, and, oh, I'm not going
to
die.
And like, to piggyback off that, it's like when you ask somebody, do they want to have unlimited life? The counter question I would raise to that would be, would everyone around you have unlimited life as well? Or would you be the only one having unlimited life while your loved ones and your friends and family just drop like flies around you? Because that would suck. You know what I mean? Because as you get older, right, even like you said, if you have like a 70-year lifespan, in the grand scheme of things, 70 years, we think of it as like a long, fulfilling life if you do what you're supposed to do. But in this, you know, the grand scheme of things, that's a pretty short amount of time. Like,
right, 70 years ago was the 1950s.
Spec. Exactly. So, I don't know. And another aspect of that would be like, okay, would I be living unlimited life as I am in my current state in my late 20s in the prime of my life, physically, mentally, or would I continue to age and continue to deteriorate? You know what I mean? Because who's to say, like, my brain won't deteriorate, I won't get Alzheimer's, and like, I'm not going to remember everything that happened 300 years ago.
Yeah, that is That's a fair point too.
So there's a lot of factors at play with unlimited life, because life is a bunch of curveballs. That's just how it works. But money is money.
Money just a tool, yeah.
Money is money. No matter how much money you have, if you have unlimited money, inflation won't affect you. The state of the economy won't affect you. Your house burning down won't affect you. You know what I mean? So yeah. You can bounce back from the curveballs of life. Whereas if you have unlimited life, those curveballs just affect you directly.
Damn, no, I feel that.
Another random question, bro. This is like a extreme pivot from the topic we were just talking about. But do you plan on having kids?
Yeah, at some point for sure. Like, I definitely want kids, you know what I mean? But yeah. I feel like I'm at a point right now, like, knock on wood, thank God, like, I don't got kids, you feel me? So I have that clean slate and a developed mind. You know what I mean? Like, I'm about to be 30 in about a year. You feel me? And the fact that I don't got kids, I can literally set up a perfect situation to have kids. So
I feel you. I'm on the same boat as you. But the reason why I ask that is to say, when you do have kids, because I don't think, I feel like if you want them, it's a matter of when, not if, right? When you do have kids, do you plan on raising them the same exact way your parents did, raising you? And what would you do differently from the approach that your parents took? And what would you, you know, take away from them and pass down to your kids?
You know, it's crazy. Like, the obvious answer to that is no, because of the fact that I could never raise them like they raised me. I grew up in a whole different, you know what I mean? In a whole different culture than my parents. So it's just the way that I would be about certain things. And you know what I mean? I can't really speak on that because I don't have kids and I don't know, like, what it's like to have your kids in certain situations and make decisions in those situations. Like, I really can't speak on that. But I would like to think and assume that based off of the way that I was raised, like, obviously, I'm going to take all the good that my parents did. Like, you know what I mean? I was blessed with, like, two loving parents. But as far as my approach and, like, what I'd be cool with and, like, all that, it'll for sure be different. Like, I'm just a different person than that.
Yeah. I don't know, because sometimes I look back and I reflect on my life and, like, where I'm at right now. And then I think back to, okay, how did I get here? You know, the aspects of my character and the things that I like about myself. How did that come to be? And it all goes back to more or less what my parents kind of did. And I think a big thing that my parents did for me was, I've talked about this before a lot on this podcast, but, you know, take me on regular trips and vacations back to my homeland, Sudan, keeping me connected to my roots. And that's definitely something, as I've gotten older, I realize the importance of it. And that's something that I definitely want to pass down to my kids. No matter who I have kids with, I definitely want to make sure that, you know, I take them back to Sudan regularly to see, you know, poverty up close, to keep them connected to their extended family, just so they can know who they are intuitively and their ancestral roots. Because at the end of the day, I feel like that's the cause of a lot of societal problems, is people having no self-identity. And to an extent, if you teach your kids exactly who they are from an ancestral point of view, I think that keeps them grounded. And I can only speak from personal experience, but I think that's the bulk of the reason why I like to think I'm as grounded as I am right now. And that's definitely something I want to pass down. Obviously, like, there's a lot of shit that my parents did that I wouldn't do. Not to say that, you know, they knew any better and they did it intentionally, but they were just first-time parents. You know, I'm the oldest, but I definitely wouldn't be, like, as strict on my kids as my parents were. I'd definitely give them a little bit more freedom, a little bit more, you know, sense of self-expression. But it's weird to kind of look back on those things now. But yeah, I think it's just a matter of when, not if, those kids come and what you want to plan on teaching them. Because I think the thought process happens before, you know, the news of those kids coming, you know, assimilates to your life. You know what I mean? I feel like it's good to have an idea of what you want to do with that.
I mean, at the end of the day, you can only do with whatever, you know what I mean, you know. You know what I mean? That's where, like, finding somebody, like, finding a partner that aligns with your values, like, that shit's real, bro.
That's you know where it starts. I mean? Yep.
Like, you have a kid with the wrong person, and it's just like you got two different people downloading information into a person.
Because, you know, that's all raising kids is. You're just downloading information onto a hard drive that's fresh and new. and I didn't know anything. Yeah, so
like
I don't know, man. I think it's better to wait, I think, a little bit longer before you have kids. Not to say that people who have kids young in their early or mid-20s are doing it the wrong way, like, because there's definitely benefits in having kids young. You get to grow old with them, and you get to experience them, and they get to experience you for the majority of your life, right? But I guess that's a good question. You think it's better to have kids younger or older? Because, I mean, my dad had me, and I'm the oldest. He had me at 35, and I was 31. So they were definitely a little bit older, and I think that kind of factored into the maturity level it went into them raising.
I mean, I think it also goes to, like, are you planning it? Was it accidental? And then if you're planning it, like, are you financially stable? You know what I mean? Because you got to think about our grandparents. At least I can speak for my grandparents. Like, they had kids young, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But, you know, motherfuckers was grown-ass men at, like, 19, 20.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Just like, the state of the world was different, yeah.
Completely different, like, you know what I mean? That, like, if you was a breadwinner, you got fucking land and you got a house built all day, yeah, go, bro, just go have kids, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You've checked all the boxes. Now you're just sending them to school, like, you got, like, it's because I guess, like, they were in an era of self-sustaining.
Yeah.
You know what surviving. I mean? Yeah, like, you farmed your stuff, you know what I mean? Everything that you got, you got your crops, you got your cattle, you got your, you know what I mean? Everything was... like farm raised, I guess, yeah, because I'm only speaking from my mom's side, because my dad, like, you know what I mean, he was raised in the city, so it's like a whole different lifestyle, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the same exact way my grandparents were too. They didn't have kids young, but at the same time, yeah, like you said, they were more on survival mode than like we are today in the 21st century, self-improvement mode.
I was about to say, bro, we have like, we're in the generation right now where it's like, you have the luxury of going and chasing your dreams. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like that concept, you have the luxury to think about that concept. Granted, everybody can't just fucking do that. You know what I mean? Like, if I had two kids, or if, you know what I mean? That's the thing about having kids too. It's just like, you got somebody, like, you got a little human dependent on you, bro. Like,
exactly.
And if I ain't got nothing to give you, like, both physically, mentally, spiritually, like, if I got nothing positive to, like, give you, or I'm, you know what I mean? Or if I haven't got, like, granted, like, I'm never going to figure out all my shit, because this is life you learn along the way. But I would like to, you know, at least be at a certain level, what I consider a base level for myself before I even have that kid.
Yeah, because it's a difference between chasing your dreams and chasing the next meal, right? Like you said, it is a luxury to be able to, you know, chase your dreams. Be like, oh, what's my purpose in life? Bro, two generations ago, their purpose in life was putting food on the table for their next meal. So,
nah, dead ass.
I feel, bro, like that type of, yeah, that type of lifestyle just, like, allows you to grow up quicker. Like, that's why you have now is, like, people in their mid-20s who are just still kind of, like, kids a little bit, you know? And it takes longer, bro, for people
a little to grow bit, up. And you got, bro, you got 30-year-olds that are kids, that are, like, the way that they move out here.
Exactly, because, like, we live in
a developed society. But the thing is, though, it's a lot freer, though. I will say that, like, we're turning into a society that's a lot more open-minded, just as far as, like, you know what I mean? But then the other side of it is, like, bro, don't force your open-mindedness, too. Like, you know what I mean? I'm open-minded, and I'm letting you do what you do, but don't tell me that that's normal. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, take that statement for whatever. Do that shit over there and leave me alone.
Yeah, bro, like, I ain't got a problem with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
there's probably certain shit that I do that people are like, God, man, this dude tripping, always fucking over here chiefing and shit. Like, like, I don't know. I don't know why people mad at me.
Yeah,
I'm just like, you're getting my paper, man.
But you know, shifting gears away from deep philosophical topics, we got to get into our sports bag a little bit, because it's been a minute. Have you been keeping up with the NFL offseason moves that have been happening?
Man, a couple. I heard Russell Wilson got traded over to the Steelers. You know what I mean? We got what, Jerry Jeudy.
Jerry Jeudy, yep.
Yeah.
Justin Fields is the backup QB.
That shit's crazy. So, I mean, bro, you know me. I could give a rat's ass about football, bro. I like to keep it a bug with you. Like, I'm trying to get into it. It's just not for me, bro. Like, you know what I mean? Like, especially because it's basketball season right now, dog. Like, I don't give a fuck about no other sport.
I will say the one major move in the NFL was – the one that caught my attention was Derrick Henry to the Ravens, bro.
Hey, that shit is a pickup, though. All bullshit aside, that's the fact crazy. That Lamar got him in his backfield, that's wild.
We already know Lamar's run game is insane.
Insane, bro. Bro, imagine them running an option with the two of them.
Bro.
That's crazy.
Like, Derrick Henry's a unit, pause. Like, he is a top five running back, like, at his worst, and he's the best running back in the league, probably outside of Christian McCaffrey at his best. Yeah. So, we already saw the damage he was doing in Tennessee with a very, very mid quarterback, Ryan Tannehill. So, if there's just like a 1-2 punch, and they already have probably the best tight end in the league outside of probably Travis Kelce and Mark Andrews, the Ravens, they kind of choked last year, bro. Like, they really did choke. Like, they had a better team than the Chiefs, and all they had to do was beat the Chiefs, and the Super Bowl would have been theirs. So now, with the run game that they have, and the offense that they have, and the elite defense they still have, they have no more excuses, bro. If Lamar doesn't get it done this year, I'm sorry, we all love Lamar Jackson, myself included, but if you don't get it done this year, some questions going to need to be asked, and some discussions are going to need to be had.
Damn, okay. Yeah. All right, bro, but did you see the games today? Fucking the OT games in basketball. Like, I ain't going to lie, bro. That shit's cool at all. But yeah. We about to be in fucking playoff mode right now.
I was just going to shift over to that. Yep. But Kyrie's left-handed game winner.
That shit was crazy. The fuck, like... All right, let's just bring it back. For those of y'all that don't watch basketball or just didn't know what the fuck's going on today, today's Sunday, March 17th. Happy St. Patrick's Day. You know what I mean? Shit, we got our green on. You feel me?
Yeah.
But we had, what, two game winners today. That shit was crazy. Kyrie. Wait,
what was the other one?
Miami. Bam hit a three to win the game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But nah, the Kyrie. So... Kyrie, Dallas was playing Denver, you know, a potential Western Conference Finals second round matchup. You feel me? Kyrie, the known assassin that he is, Mr., you know, countless game winners, probably the greatest game winner in NBA history, you know, game 7 against the Warriors. 100%. 3-1 comeback. To have that under your bag is crazy. But anyways, this dude comes in, gets the pass. Runs around coming on top right in front of the free throw line. What looked like a fucking sky hook, bro. But like a weird, like, because you know how he like goes wide when he hits a layup? Like, mm-hmm. To get that extra spin. It kind of looked like he did that while fucking throwing a sky hook from the fucking free throw line. And that shit went in like butter.
Bro, not only did he do that, he did it with his left hand as a right-handed player. He did it over the extended hand of 7-foot Jokic at the free throw line elbow.
Yeah.
While he's fasting, he don't got a single nutrient in his body. He's fasting Ramadan, and he did a left-handed fin. Bro, that is an impossible shot to hit. Like, I couldn't fathom. Like, I was thinking about it for like 2 hours after I saw it. I'm like, bro, if I went out to the basketball court across the street right now and attempted that shot for 2 hours just by myself, no defenders, I'm not even hitting rim for the entire 2 hours that I'm there.
I don't know about all that, bro.
Bro, my lefty is weak in basketball. That's just me personally. Okay. Like, a lefty like that far out from the rim, dog, that's insane. Over Jokic is like 7 foot outstretched.
Well, yeah, contested. But you said with nobody guarding you, bro. I'd like to give you more credit than that. I mean, shit, it is. But nah, that shit was wild, bro. Hey, you see the? I mean, shit, your Suns is looking nice too,
bro. I don't want to like make any bold predictions because the last time I made a bold prediction about my Suns, we got spanked and embarrassed by Dallas in a 7-game series. So, I don't know. I just want us to get out of the play-in, bro, because as a play-in team, you got 7, 8, 9, 10. 7 is Phoenix. 8 is Dallas. 9 is the Lakers. And 10 is Warriors. That 7-8 matchup, I don't even have enough faith in us beating Dallas, to be honest with you. After seeing what I saw today from Kyrie and then Luka still being there, Luka didn't even have to hit a game winner, bro. Like, them two was torching Denver, the defending champ.
I think they finally clicked, man.
This like, year, that was a scary team, bro. I don't want to see them.
Somebody got to see them. Shit.
So I don't know, bro. I don't think, to be honest, bro, like just speaking from a non-biased point of view, I just think our championship window was kind of closed.
Yeah.
Like, because you're not biased. You're not a Suns fan. Like, do you honestly see the Suns as a championship contender this year?
Nah.
I don't. Like, we have Booker, Beal, and KD, but.
Y'all don't got no depth, bro.
We don't. Like, our bench is depleted. I like Grayson Allen.
Grayson Allen is a clutch pickup. You know what I mean?
Like, I really like him, and I like Nurkic. But that's our starting five, bro. Outside of them five, who do we really have on our bench?
And that's the thing, bro. To win a 7-game series, you need your bench to at least win two.
and you need to not get injured. And I don't have faith in KD, Booker, and Beal, all three of them not getting injured the whole playoff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Knock on wood, and I don't want to sound like a fair weather fan, but ever since we got humbled back in, was it 2022? Yeah, 2022 playoffs. Ever since we got humbled, that opened my eyes. I'm like, bro, no more bold predictions for me.
I mean, bold prediction, bro. Cleveland about to win a ring this year. I'm telling you.
Hey, man, I just spoke as a non-biased fan. I'd like you to do the same. You know what I mean?
Bro, as a non-biased fan, bro, we going to fuck around and win a chip this year. We are a deep fucking team, bro.
And hey, like, all jokes aside, though, like, I think you guys are a dark horse in the East for sure.
You know what I mean? Because think about it this way, bro. We got DG and Donovan as our starting two. You got Isaac Okoro or Max Strus as our three. Evan Mobley and Jared Allen as our anchors. You know what I mean? Then coming off the bench, if it wasn't Okoro, it's going to be Strus. We got Georgie Niang, Dean Wade, Sam Merrill. You know what I mean? Craig Porter as our backup point guard. And it's like, we got a team. See, this is why, like, I was telling somebody this the other day. I was like, I fuck with Donovan, right? And I appreciate what he's doing. I just think our team would be better without him. And we've shown that we win games without him, bro. Because without him, we move as a team, as a unit. There's no hero ball. And people say, like, oh, in the playoffs, you need somebody like that. Nah, bro. We have a star-studded cast. Like, and the thing is, when he's not on the court, the flow is different. You know what I mean? We're looking for the bet. Like, literally, I'm like, when I watch this Cavs team, they remind me of the Warriors when they were developing Curry and Clay and Draymond, you know what I mean? Fucking David Lee, Sean Livingston, like, they let it develop. They, like, bro, this would be, this, like, Donovan Mitchell equivalent would be like if the Warriors added fucking DeMar DeRozan to the fucking, to the Warriors while they were building that team.
Bro, I'm not even gonna lie, not to cut you off, but I'm looking at the standings right now. I didn't even realize that y'all are the three seed.
Yeah, bro, we keep bouncing back and forth from 3-2.
Because if you look at the top, you know, the non-playing spots in the East, Celtics, Bucks, Knicks, Magic, and even the Pacers have been getting a lot of media coverage this year. But I haven't seen a single peep talk about the Cavs.
Yeah, bro.
And like, that's bro, how you would like it. Thing.
Bro, like, we literally beat the Wolves in a comeback win. We beat the fucking the Bucks on national TV. We beat the Celtics on national TV. Bro, that national TV game, bro, we were down 22 at the half. You feel me? So it's just one of those, like, and bro, nobody's talking about us. But it's one of those, like, people think I'm crazy, and I'm like, I get it. I am, like, one of the most OP, like, you know what I mean? Not bandwagon. What's it called? Like, dick riding fans for my team. Like, delusional, like the Cowboys. Like, oh, man, we're going to win it this year. You know what I mean? Like, I love that. Like, that's just how, like, I support my team. Like, you feel me? Yeah. But this year, like, yo, it's actually real. Because I've watched these players develop into what they're moving into right now. And this is a scary team, bro.
I will say this. As a 3-6 first round matchup, if I were you, I would much rather see the Pacers instead of the Heat. Because we already saw what the Heat could do.
Bro, I don't want to see the fucking Heat, bro. This is what I mean? Heat got. The Heat got on us is experience and, like, a different kind of discipline. That we, after fucking getting bounced in the first round last year, we don't need to see them early on. Now, if we see the Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals, God bless, good luck. We had a good run. You know what I mean? But until then, like, I want to see the Knicks in the first round. And then, bro, I'm not afraid of Philly. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not afraid of Boston, bro. Like, I would much rather see Boston than Miami.
Because I feel like an Indiana first round series, I feel like y'all might sweep.
I mean, we could. I mean, but then again, bro, Indy's nice too. You know what I mean?
They're nice. They just have no defense whatsoever.
Yeah, and we are a fuck. Bro, Jared Allen, like, is a top five center in the league, hands down.
I think that's fair, yeah, because you got – If you name them, you got Jokic, Embiid,
Jokic, Embiid. We throw those out, like, you know what I mean.
And Sabonis, then outside of that,
Sabonis is in that conversation, bro. Sabonis is slept the fuck on. This dude's averaging almost a fucking triple double this year.
I'd probably put Sabonis, and then honestly, I'm putting Gobert up there.
Fuck Gobert, bro. Once that motherfucker,
Gobert, and then Jared Allen.
Bro, Jared Allen over Gobert, because Jared Allen produces offensively along with defensively, bro. and you can't fucking take, like, you, bro, the amount of 2015, 2020 games that Jared Allen's had while giving you 3-4 blocks, like, Jared Allen is a defensive rim protector and an offense. Like, bro, if he gets the ball at the elbow, I'm comfortable with him pulling up with that jumper.
He does have a nice jumper.
Bro, he has a nice jumper. He has a nice touch around the rim. Like, hey, his passing IQ is crazy for a big. He's great in the fucking pick and roll. You know what I mean? Yeah. The only thing Embiid has on top of him is just like he's a little bit better defensive.
Jared Allen can't come back and be like, oh, the lights was too bright again. He has to prove himself in the playoffs again, too.
Oh, 100%, bro. And I think he's about to eat this year, bro. He's about to eat. But yeah, so, that's my Cleveland rant.
To close it out, finals predictions. Who you got going in the finals?
Bro, I think Denver's coming out the West. I think OKC and Minnesota, like, what they're doing is fucking remarkable. But you experience is about to, like, be their downfall. I mean, shit, I could be wrong. But, you know, I just don't see if OKC matches up with Denver in the Eastern Conference in the Western Conference Finals, I'm sorry, bro. Like, y'all about to watch a real team, like, show you how to win. Like, and on top of that, Denver, they got length, bro. They got a tall starting five. They got a long starting five, buddy.
Yeah. Hey, can I give like a hot take right now?
Yeah, what's up, bro?
I don't think OKC makes it out of the first round no matter what.
Because
the way
it's shaping up, they're going to play the Warriors, the Lakers, the Suns.
I don't see them beating the Warriors or the Lakers in a seven-game series. I'm sorry. Like, if you match up with the Warriors have the best player on the floor in a seven-game series. The team with the best player on the floor in a seven-game series usually wins, historically speaking. If they match up with the Lakers, LeBron and AD are the two best players on the floor.
Shea. You can't sleep on Shea, bro. Shea is an MVP. He is a potential MVP candidate this year. And I'm taking Shea over AD any fucking day.
Not in the playoffs. Not in the playoffs, bro. I like Shea, but this is his first playoff appearance. He's young.
All right, that's fair. That's fair.
And a lot of his game is predicated on foul baiting, bro. As much as I like his game, like, he'd be driving to the rim, snapping his head back off of no contact and getting to the foul. That shit is not going to fly in the playoffs.
I mean, bro, fucking AD soft as shit, too. He does the same thing in the paint. Like, one of the biggest knocks on him is he's not aggressive.
But I've seen AD have great games in the playoffs.
I mean, granted, like, Shea hasn't been in the playoffs, but it's like we've also seen AD have shitty games in the playoffs.
Trust me, the Lakers are my most hated team. I don't like the Lakers at all. if they're an eighth seed, bro, I'm just taking that experience. Same with the Warriors. Because Warriors and Lakers are their nucleus has won championships. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, like, I just think
I'm taking both those teams over OKC any day. But, you know.
In a regular season game, yes. In a seven-game series where adjustments need to be made, I'm not doing
it. I feel that.
So my final predictions are going to be Celtics-Nuggets, and I see the Nuggets winning, going back-to-back.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Cleveland-Denver, bro. It's going to be Cleveland-Denver.
If you think about it, bro, the league still hasn't found an answer for Jokic. Nobody knows what the fuck to do with him.
Right.
Nobody knows how to guard him.
And I think, like, him and that entire starting five is just, like, they finally click. They're finally meshing. And they're all hitting the stride together.
They still probably have the most complete and well-balanced starting five in the league. And no matter what you do against Jokic, you force him to score, he's going to give you 40. You force him to pass, he's going to give everybody else 40. So it's like there's really not much you could do, bro. And he's improved immensely as a defender. So I don't know. Unless a major injury happens, they lose Jamal Murray or something, knock on wood. I don't want to wish that on nobody. Yeah. I just see them going back to back. And I also think Malone is probably the most underrated coach in the league, and he should probably have a coach of the year by now. And it's criminal that he doesn't.
Hey, fair enough.
Yeah. Fair enough. But we can go ahead and close it out on that point.
Hey, man. Real quick, last thing I want to mention. It's crypto season, y'all. Don't be an idiot. That's it.
Yeah, hey, free game. Free game for you.
You feel me? But on that, you know, shit, good to be back. Good to have you back, you know.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, boy.
You know what I mean? On behalf of the Two Coin Podcast, it's your boy, Ronnie.
I'll lead the other side of the coin, and we are signing out this motherfucker.